Now that the Easter Sunday is behind us, as I've said a while ago, it's so easy for us to put everything behind us, the message of Jesus' resurrection, until next spring. Isn't that so? We cleared up everything. We brought home our Easter lilies. We remembered everything through the wonders of Facebook and pictures and technology and memories. There's always a tendency to view Easter, again, as I've said, as a one-time special event. As one preacher says, and I quote, "The resurrection will fade into the white noise of our lives, making no discernible impact," end of quote. Well, hear me out, church. Easter is not something we just remember as a one-time event. It is not even a commemorative anniversary of a past event. Rather, Easter is an ongoing journey. It's an ongoing experience. As one theologian says, and I quote, "Easter is something we live and breathe." Did you hear me, church? Something we live and we breathe. That's why in the Christian calendar, Easter is a season and not a one-day event. Therefore, throughout this whole Easter season, I'll be preaching on a sermon series entitled, can you read that with me, church? Practicing Resurrection. It is my goal and my prayer as we immerse ourselves into God's Word for the entire Easter season leading us into the Pentecost, that we will see the resurrection as something we live and we breathe. Something we practice every day. Let us pray. Resurrected Spirit, come now and enter into our hearts and into our minds. Remove all things that clutter our thoughts so that we can focus upon your word. Come, Resurrected Spirit. For it is in the name of the risen Lord that we pray. Amen. You know, day after Easter, I was just completely exhausted. I mean, leading the, two churches and in this journey from started on Palm Sunday and then moving us towards the Monday, Thursday, Good Friday. I'm sure many of my colleagues have the same experience as well. They actually showed this a picture in the Facebook. It's like in a football track or in a track where every image there, they're all lied down and they're all kind of exhausted. And then there's a heading that says, "This is what the pastor looks like a few hours after Easter Sunday." And that really speaks volume, because it was really not an easy to navigate on that. I'm sure most of us here this morning just went back to our normal lives. We preferred the old ways. And we somehow get back again to our usual way of life. And we asked, you know, what made Easter different? And sometimes we locked ourselves. We locked ourselves into the doors of our homes and avoid the circumstances that are happening around the world. Most especially, some of us have experienced that during the pandemic. We hunkered ourselves. We shut down ourselves for fear of getting COVID. Sometimes we just want to run away. Sometimes we want to hide and not to deal with the realities of our lives. Every time we shut the doors of our lives, every time we miss the opportunities to share the good news of Christ to others, we imprison ourselves. For every person, event, or idea that we lock out, regardless of the reason, we lock ourselves in. That's what happened in the story here in our gospel reading. It is Easter evening, church. Remember that. Easter evening, a few hours after Jesus rose from the grave. The first day of the week, the day of the resurrection, the day that they saw the empty tomb, the day that Mary Magdalene said, "I have seen the Lord." And where were the disciples? They're gathered in a house, and the doors are locked with fear. A week later, they are in the same place, in the same house, in the same walls, in the same closed doors, in the same locks. This is a week after the resurrection of Jesus. Nothing much has changed. Jesus' tomb is open and empty, but the disciples' house is closed and the doors locked tight. For the early disciples, the empty tomb is not the sign of resurrection, but a source of disappointment and fear. Fear that perhaps they would be the next to be crucified. Fear that they have lost the one that's been with them, their leader that have come, that came alongside with them. They have, just imagine, they witnessed all the miracles that Jesus showed to them. And then all of a sudden, we lost our leader. Their fear of their lives, that they might be the next to be crucified on the cross. So that combination of things happening in their minds, disappointment and fear, a sense of what will be the next, the unknown, which leads them to gather in a locked house. Think about that for a second, church. Have you been locked home before in your house? It was not good. It was not a funny thing, right? For a lot of different reasons. And when the Gospel of John writer describes this figurative idea of house being locked, the doors, the locks, he's speaking here more than a physical house with walls and with doors on hinges and dead bolts. He is describing here, in fact, much deeper than that. He is describing here the spiritual condition of the disciples. The locked places of our lives are always more about what's going on inside us than rather around us. Amen? It's the interior condition. What's inside? Jesus is on the loose and the disciples are bound in fear. The disciples have separated themselves and their lives from the reality of Jesus' resurrection. Their doors of faith had been closed. They have shut their eyes to the reality that life is now different. They have not seen that. They locked out Mary Magdalene's word of faith and hope and love. They left the empty tomb of Jesus, but you know what? They enter into their tombs of fear, the tombs of doubt, the tombs of their own blindness. I wonder, church, fast forwarding it now in our lives today, what are the locked doors of your life? What keeps you in the tomb? Maybe like the disciple, it is fear. For many years, I was so fearful of driving. To be honest, I mean, I shared this before, y'all. I just feared to drive. I didn't drive, not until I maybe when I here in the U.S. And that was when I was already in my very early 30s. Can you imagine that? Pastor Edgar had never driven in the first 30 years. And that was just one of my fears. You have your fears. Maybe the fear of the opportunity to share Christ to others. You miss opportunities of the what could be. Maybe it's a question or disbelief about your faith. Perhaps you've been entombed right now with sorrow and you have not gotten over with it yet, or loss. Maybe wounds are so deep in you that seems that it's not worth taking the risk. For others, it may be the tomb of anger. Maybe your locked doors are anger and resentment. Do we see ourselves now, church, in the early disciples that are huddling there? They were so much faced with a lot of things, with uncertainties and that kind of fear of the unknown, fear of our own security, fear for our health, fear of our finances, fear of our future, and many others. And we find ourselves closing the doors of our lives and not realizing the reality that Jesus already, what happened? Jesus already rose from the grave. And in the midst of that story in the gospel, what happened next? While they were huddled in that room, what comes next on verses 19 to 20? I want you to say this with me, church. Jesus showed up. Can you say that, church? Jesus showed up. Listen again to verses 19 to 20. It was still the first day of the week that evening. While the disciples were behind closed doors because they were afraid of the Jewish authorities, hear this, Jesus came and stood among them and he said, "Peace be with you." And after he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. And when the disciples saw the Lord, they were filled with joy. Can you imagine Jesus all of a sudden just showed up? The doors were locked. They huddled together in fear. They knew all along that their leader was up there. And then all of a sudden, he showed up. Can you process that? It's just so hard. This kind of disconnect. Are you really here, Jesus? That cannot be. Can you imagine all these things coming up? Is that really you? And it's just unbelievable in a human perspective. And not only that, that Jesus showed up here in this text, but he also said this word and he gave us these words, "Peace be with you." And receive the Holy Spirit. And those kind of promises happen twice in the gospel's lesson. Both times the disciples are in the same house, behind the same locked doors. He showed up. He stands in the midst of them. The walls and the locked doors of their house could not keep Jesus out. Amen to that. And the walls and the locked doors of your house will not keep him out as well. He steps into the midst of that particular moment and offered these words of promise and comfort. "Peace be with you. As the Father sent me, so I'm sending you." And not only that, he breathed into them and said these words from Jesus himself, "Receive the Holy Spirit." What a great assurance that comes from the one whom they thought no longer there with them. What a great assurance for them to know that Jesus was there with them in the midst of their locked doors of their lives. Jesus showed up and gives peace and life. He breathes into them peace and hope, just like what He is doing for you and for me today. I don't know about you all, but some of us are facing the locked places in our lives today. And I want to emphasize here, most importantly, that there is a tendency to always see this from the angle of just the fear of the challenges that we face in our everyday lives. But I think I want to emphasize also an important point here, that we have right now a lot of fear about testifying Jesus to others. Amen? We have fear of even placing Jesus in the public arena of our conversation, whether it's in the restaurant, whether it's in the mall, whether in the public spaces like schools, colleges. We have been so much insulated by our Christianity. Don't you think that this message is about getting outside of our comfort zone and to be fearless and be bold and courageous to offer Christ? Because we are not alone. Amen? We have received and breathed into us the power of the resurrection spirit. He showed up, church, and gave us this peace. He showed us and He breathed into us the hope, the courage, and the breath of peace is the key that unlocks the doors that keeps us from facing the reality of Jesus' resurrection. So take a deep breath. Take it all in. Let it feel and enliven you and me. Let it give you the hope and courage and strengthen each one of you this morning to unlock and open those doors that are preventing you, that entombing you, that putting you in the tomb, so that you can get out. We all can get out as the body of Christ. Jesus is always entering the locked places of our lives. Standing among us, He offers us peace and breathes new life into us. But I want you to hear this, church. Jesus does not open the door for us, but He gives us all we need so that we might open our doors to a new life. Amen? A new creation, a new way of being. And this is happening all the time. The resurrection of Jesus is all about the freedom from locked places of our lives. The resurrection of Jesus is about refusing to let our fear entomb us. It's about new life. It's about the peace and hope that comes from the one who already defeated death. Amen? The one who already rose from the grave, and the one who is alive. Church, no matter what locked doors that are keeping you from seeing the reality of God's resurrection, Jesus will always show up. Amen? Just as He did to His early disciples more than 2,000 years ago, He showed up, and He will show up to you in unexpected ways, in unexpected circumstances of life. And I want you to hear what He had said to them, just like what we are being promised to receive now when Jesus showed up. Peace I give to you. Receive the Holy Spirit. May this be a promise that continue on to be an inspiration as we proclaim the good news of the risen Savior to the world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and all the people of God said, Amen.